This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm John Itstee, sitting in for Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. In Pakistan, every week seems to bring news of another suicide attack, missile strike, or roadside bomb. Much of the unrest is in the country's remote western tribal areas. This semi-autonomous region stretches along the mountains that make up the border with Afghanistan. Most of the 6 million Pakistanis who live there are poor villagers.
Foreign journalists and aid workers are routinely blocked from visiting, and some parts are no-go areas even for the Pakistani army. U.S. intelligence officials say al-Qaeda uses the border areas as a base of operations for international terrorist attacks. Pakistani authorities deny that, but even they admit the tribal lands are thick with Taliban sympathizers. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly traveled to Pakistan and has our report.
Our story begins, as so many good ones do, in the Khyber Pass. To get there, you come to Peshawar, a big city in northwestern Pakistan, and you head west.
Just driving toward the edge of Peshawar to cross into the tribal areas, we're passing through Afghan refugee camps. Because we're going to be entering an area where foreigners aren't normally permitted, they've given us 4 police officers. They're sitting with guns across their laps in a truck just in front of us. Got sirens blaring, lights flashing. A little questionable if the point is to guarantee our security, because it's guaranteeing that everyone who wasn't looking at us before is looking at us now.
A few miles outside Peshawar, we reach a checkpoint. Tribal security forces take over the escort duties here and start leading us high into the mountains towards the Khyber Pass on the Afghan-Pakistan border. Many centuries ago, Alexander the Great marched his army through here. Later came Persian fighters, Mongols, Tartars, and Turks. Today, it's not the movement of great armies that's prompting concern, but handfuls of Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters crossing back and forth. They're causing problems here in Pakistan's tribal regions and stoking fears that the war in Afghanistan may be spilling across the border. Today, the only tribal fighters in evidence are those wearing the uniform of Pakistan's Frontier Corps. Outside the officers' mess, they put on a show for visiting dignitaries. Apparently, NPR reporters make the cut. All told, Pakistan has 80,000 troops along the border with Afghanistan. Their job includes fighting terrorism in Pakistan's tribal agencies, 7 remote border districts plagued by weak government, huge numbers of weapons, and growing Islamic extremism. Pakistani intelligence officials insist the number of foreigners hiding here is actually pretty small. A couple hundred Central Asians from Uzbekistan and Tajikistan, 60 or 70 Arabs, some Chechens and Chinese. But the officials concede there are thousands of Afghans in Pakistan's tribal areas, many with pro-Taliban sympathies. Sympathies shared, the officials say, by hundreds, perhaps thousands, of radicalized Pakistani supporters. Rahimullah Yousafzai, a veteran journalist here, says you can stand and watch them crossing at Torham at the end of the Khyber Pass.
You look at the people who are crossing the border all the time, from sunrise to sunset. 10,000 people on an average enter Pakistan from Afghanistan every day. 5,000 people cross over to Afghanistan from Pakistan. And anybody among them could be a terrorist, a criminal, a smuggler.
And that's just the travelers recorded at official checkpoints. U.S. and NATO commanders in Afghanistan say they face a huge problem. Taliban and al-Qaeda-linked fighters who attack and then fall back across the border, finding safe haven in Pakistan. At a Senate hearing 2 weeks ago, CIA Director Michael Hayden testified that safe haven gives them the physical and even psychological space they need to meet, train, plan, and prepare new attacks. Afghanistan's government, meanwhile, goes farther still. President Hamid Karzai charges that Taliban leader Mullah Omar is, quote, for sure living in the Pakistani city Quetta. Put these allegations to Lieutenant General Ali Orakzai, and you can practically watch the hairs on his neck bristle.
I say that the problem resides in Afghanistan.
Orakzai is governor of Pakistan's northwest frontier province.
If Taliban are fighting the Afghan forces or the coalition forces, those Taliban belong to Afghanistan. If Mullah Omar is fighting, Mullah Omar is an Afghan, and he's sitting in Kandahar or wherever in Afghanistan. But they are very prone to say, oh, Mullah Omar is sitting in Quetta. No, this is absolutely wrong. because Afghanistan is a failed state, they're trying to dump the entire blame on Pakistan.
General Oreksai's offices and residence are a pristine white mansion set deep in jewel-green lawns studded with peacocks and groundskeepers. Beyond the walls lies Peshawar, the crowded, polluted, exotic capital of Pakistan's northwest frontier province. Extremism is unquestionably rising here. 2 weeks ago, a suicide bomber blew himself up and wounded two policemen. That's the seventh bombing in Peshawar in 2 months. There are other telling signs. Across the city, women's faces have been ripped off billboards. And alcohol was recently banned, even for non-Muslims. The room service menu at the Pearl Continental, the best hotel in town, has a black line crossed through the listing for beer and hard liquor, another nod to Taliban-style piety. On the other hand, you can buy Versace sunglasses here, or a spicy nugget value meal at KFC. Desperate Housewives is popular on satellite TV. You'll find similar contradictions in Hubei, a village 40 minutes drive north. There are no paved roads here, or power the day we visited. Most people in Hubei live in mud huts and work the fields. Sugarcane and tobacco are big. We're not far from Dargai, where a suicide bomber last month killed dozens of Pakistani army recruits. People here are angry about that, and it's in places like Hubei, desperately poor and cut off from the outside world, that radicalism is feared to be on the rise. Yet most of the villagers we met professed indifference for the Taliban, and as for al-Qaeda, we found no backers. Saheed Ahman, a village elder who seemed to command the respect of the other men, says he has no time for Osama bin Laden.
We're not concerned about him because we're concerned about our country, and we're having so many problems. We're just concerned about peace and security in our country, and Osama can go to hell.
Another man, a retired soldier named Lal Ghul, says he's worried the recent suicide bombings in Peshawar and particularly in Dargai may mark the beginning of a new phase of terrorism in Pakistan.
He says now that it's started and it's a track, and now you're going to witness a lot of bombings. This has given birth to attacks and bombings.
In the tribal areas?
Sirf the tribal area ki kuna tu Pakistan. He thinks it's going to be in throughout the country.
General Oreksai, the top government official in the region, disputes this. He says Pakistan, even the tribal areas, is on balance very stable. And again, Oreksai himself was attacked a few weeks ago. Rockets rained down on a military camp as he made a speech in South Waziristan, the southernmost tribal agency. Oreksai was forced to cancel his plans and fly back to Peshawar by helicopter. He calls the episode a very minor incident. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News.
You can catch another of Mary Louise's reports from Pakistan later today on All Things Considered. That one focuses on Pakistan's delicate balancing act in the war on terror.